Well, it is good to be with you this morning. If you don't know me, I'm Levi. I'm the lead pastor here at Evangel. And if you're here and returning student, welcome. And we are so glad that you are here. And for those of you who are local, just again, a pro tip that I always give every year is when they descend on us like locusts, do not go to Walmart. It is out of control, that place. Do a pickup. Use your phone. Today we're in a single one-off sermon. I just really, something pressed upon my heart that God said, hey, you need to talk about me. You need to talk about what I've been doing. And if you've known me at all, I am the worst at celebration. I am the worst at kind of just like expressing like how excited. And so let me just tell you about how this sermon started out. On Monday, tried to write nothing. Tuesday, went through the whole day. And there were some interruptions in there because this thing's running, the ship's running at about 100 miles an hour, and people had a bunch of questions and there were interruptions. But it wasn't that. I just didn't have it. I couldn't see it. I couldn't understand it. What has God been doing in this last 6 months? What's been happening amongst us? And I went home really frustrated on Tuesday. You ever have a day of work like that? You're just frustrated. You just come out of work and you're like, oh, that was not, they did not get their money's worth that day. It was just rough. And so I went and I cooked some dinner and did all of those things and went to bed and just was still frustrated, still like that angst inside of me. And I'm like, God, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I don't know if I can preach this. Either you give me something or I got nothing. I don't know what to say. And so 3:30 in the morning, he said, you wake up. So I woke up, and as I'm praying, as I'm talking to God about this, he just, it was like a seriously, like a floodgate. And so you're going to get like a little mini picture of what's happened in the last 8 months and where God has shown up. You're going to get a little mini picture of it. I could go on, but we can't. We have another service and they tell me I can't go over into that next one. And so, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about what God has been doing. And then we're going to talk about what does it look like to partner with the gospel. If you've been to Evangel at all, you will hear the gospel every time that we stand on the stage because it is the greatest news ever told, that Jesus came for us, that Jesus died for us, and that Jesus rose again, that we can have life in him. And so you will hear that all the time because it is the greatest news. And God is doing things. God is moving in our community and in our church. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to celebrate. And so if you want to clap, we can clap for God. And those times you can say amen. We miss our amen guy. Remember that dude? He would just like randomly say amen. And it was just encouraging. And so if we need another one of those. So I asked God to raise one of those up. So maybe that's you today. But let's pray. Father, we come before you and we just worship you. We are so thankful that we get to serve you, that we get to worship you, that you are, when we don't even see what you're doing, you're at work for us. God, you chased us down. You left the 99 and you came after us. And we are excited about that, that we can have life in you and we can have life to the full. We ask as we open your word today and as we look at it, that it would be a blessing to you and it also would be a blessing to us as we partner with you for the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So where we're going to be is in Philippians chapter 1. And let me just set the setting for this. Paul is in prison and he's writing a letter. His chains are... His wrists are in chains, and he has no idea if he ever walks out alive again from the place that he's at. And the first thing out of his mouth was this in this letter to the people and to the church in Philippi was, I give thanks. I thank God, my God, every time I remember you. And a man in chains thanking God for a church. Remember, this church is like 400 miles away from him. It's not like it's really close to him, but he begins to express why he's giving thanks for the church, why he's giving thanks for what they have done. And he gives really four reasons. And so I'm just going to read this passage then we're going to unpack it and we're going to talk about what God has been doing here. I thank my God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading of his word. So Paul is talking to these people and he's beginning to just express the celebration of what God has been doing in and through them. And he's beginning to say, hey, look, I love you guys. I have great joy. I praise God every time. I'm giving thanks for God. And remember what these people did. They had skin in the game. Every time that Paul was in prison or he's on one of these missionary expeditions, they're sending money. They're saying, hey, we're going to partner with the gospel with you, Paul. We believe that this is the greatest news for everyone in the world to know and to hear and to understand, to meet, know, and follow Jesus. We believe this. And so they're encouraging him and they're sending him. And he says, hey, you're a partner in the gospel. You're a partnering with God. You're partnering in the good work that he started in you. And so as I was thinking about that, and as I told you, I was just struggling, not because of you, but because my eyes don't always see what God has been doing. But I want to just kind of go through when I think of evangel, truly partnering in the gospel, in any church, truly partnering in the gospel with God, what you will see in that is it shows up in numbers. And people will say all the time, well, numbers don't matter. Well, God wrote a whole book called Numbers. And so it matters at some level. And numbers are really this. Let me just tell you, numbers aren't the most important thing. It's the stories behind the numbers that is the most important thing because they represent people. They represent the good work that God has been doing and moving in people's lives. This year, in the last 8 months, 20 people said, we're going to the waters of baptism because we want to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We want to say Jesus. That's really good. I like that. For those of you who are online, they're throwing amens up there. You can throw them up from all over the place. In that, these people are publicly proclaiming the good news. Let me just say this. Faith comes by hearing of the word, right? We hear the word, we accept the word, and that's one thing that we do as we enter into reading our Bibles or listening to our Bibles or hearing a teaching, and we hear that and we receive that. But there's something totally different when you begin to proclaim the word of God, that it is true for you, and that's what these people did. It's a wonderful picture of what God is doing. You know, 337 of you have said, hey, we're going to get a text every day. And as a church community, this is what we're going to do. We're going to read the scriptures together because we want the word of God to wash over us, to change us. This is the very word of God given to us for our faith and to move us. Here's the deal that I know about my heart. And so I believe it about your heart. Your heart is not perfect. And sometimes it's corrupt. And what the word of God does is it starts to change it from being outside of reality into reality. And so we read the word of God together. We believe the word of God together. We trust the word of God together. And we allow the Holy Spirit to move and to change us as we hear these words, as we read these words, as we believe these words. 10 new members joined the church and said, I'm not just attending here. I'm planting my life here. I'm saying that the church, I trust them that I'm going to come under the discipleship of the church, and I'm going to be a part of partnering in a formal way with the church. I'm going to say yes to Jesus in this, and I'm going to go all in and believe that God has called me into this. Our prayer squad, if you saw the announcements on that and you hear them all the time, here's just a number, 230 requests have come in that chunk of time. Think about that. How many people are in the prayer squad? I don't even actually know this. About 120, 130, something like that. 130 people going to the throne of God and saying, hey, God, this is the need that we have. And that's partnering. That's partnering with each other. That's loving each other. But that's also partnering with the gospel. That's partnering with the good news of who Jesus is. That's partnering with the God, the creator of all the world, and saying, we trust you. We trust you. We have an open playground. And that happens a very short period of time when the snow comes. And I hate to say it is going to come again. It comes with great regularity here. And we open up a few days a week, 50 families were served in that they could come and let their kids run around, get all sweaty and get some energy out and not lose them in a snowbank. And praise the Lord for that, right? Like, there are things that are happening in that. 19 new family units filled out our welcome form in the last 6 months alone, which means 19 times someone walked through the doors not knowing us and decided to take that next step of saying, hey, I want to know more. I want to move. I want to partner in just that next step. This is awesome. I'll just prepare. You're going to say amen on this one. Our youth went on a trip. Our youth went on we called it an adventure trip. It was a stress trip. It was rainy and hard and it made each other mad, and all of those things were true. But 8 of them on that trip, as the word of God was being poured into their lives, said yes to Jesus. That's amazing. We can point to 5 separate family units who've taken steps toward Jesus, and it has completely rearranged their lives. Let me tell you 2 stories about partnership and what it actually looks like. We filled the Rosé, not totally up, but pretty close to up, twice this year. 2 times. One was at Easter. I'll tell you that story in just a moment. But we also filled it up for Frank Turek. And let me tell you how that actually happened. A friend of mine, an evangelite, we're sitting around talking, we have kids similar age, and he said, you know, I think one of the greatest dangers to our kids is that they can't think. They don't think, and they don't understand that our faith is reasoned. And I said, well, what are we going to do about that? And he said, what about Frank Turek? I didn't really know who Frank Turek totally was. I had heard of him, but I didn't know totally. And he and his wife said, let's do this. Let's make this happen. They arranged it. They financed it. They were a part of that with another family and saying, we're going to allow not just college students, but high school students and our church to hear that our faith isn't something that we're just like, oh, we're going to accept this blindly. No, it is a reasoned faith. And it costs them something. It costs them something to do that. It costs them time. It cost them finances. It cost them to do that because they wanted to partner with the gospel. We filled up the Rosé Center a second time. Our leadership team said, hey, that's a great venue for Easter. Let's continue to do that. If they will allow us to do that, let's rent that thing. It does cost the church some money. It's not astronomical for us to do it. And we've partnered with them, with Michigan Tech, for many years doing that. And it is a great place for people to come in, and it's non-threatening, and it's not here at the church. And if they've never been to church, it's a great place to walk into. Absolutely beautiful venue. Well, we preached a sermon. We talked about Jesus, because that's what we do. But we talked about really about this idea, if the resurrection did not happen, then our faith is silliness. But if it did happen, you better consider that all of the other things are true within the scripture. And that's what we talked about in that. And so that happened. We had this wonderful celebration of the risen Christ. It was awesome. It was a really fun time to do that. Afterwards, one of our staff members was walking through, and we were cleaning up. Everyone had kind of left into that beautiful foyer, and they're taking pictures, doing their Easter pictures. Probably their allergies are going crazy because we had hydrangeas, and all of those things were happening all at that time. But there was a sound guy, the mixer guy. And this is overheard. This wasn't told to the staff member. They're sitting there, and they go to the other mixer person. Hey, if what that guy was saying, if what that scripture was saying, if that's true, we have to think about this. Amen? Why? They heard the word of God, and it stirred something. I don't know what happened to that person, but I do know that there was a movement, there was a nudge toward the gospel. Let me tell you something else that happened. You know, we have a bus ministry. You guys all know that. That picks up people all year long in the community. And then college students, if you're a first-year student, that'll come right by WADS. What? WADS next week, both services. There'll be a bus to pick at you. So if you're sitting next to your mama or daddy and you say, oh yeah, I'll be at church. And then your excuse is, I don't have a ride. You have a ride. So that one's taken off the table. Someone saw that ministry and seeing the importance of it, seeing our bus. Our bus is fine. It's okay. They said, you know what? I want to buy them a new bus. And they bought us a new bus. It's not brand new. Got 12,000 miles on it. So almost brand new. So we can do this at a higher level. It's not just for that. It's also for the youth trips that are coming up. There's a couple of them coming up. Fall Fest is coming up. You need to sign up for that youth. We're cutting a hole in the building. And I don't know exactly when in the next few weeks. And the reason we're doing that is we're putting a garage door in so we can pull back in. This is what, God bless this. We have a huge building and it has enough room for our buses to go in. And so they're protected from the snow. And so our bus drivers don't have to be, you know, driving around with a bunch of snow on the top and flying off and onto other people. And God has just provided in that way. But it cost somebody something. It cost somebody to have a vision and an understanding that they wanted to partner with the gospel for you college students and for the church, that they would be able to come and meet, know, and follow Jesus. That's partnership. That's what it looks like. None of this happens without real partnership. And real partnership always costs something. I'm not even going to talk about the children's ministry, but I'm going to talk about the children's ministry. Every week there are people in the nursery. Every week there are people in the preschool ministry, and they're teaching kids about Jesus. And there's people in the children's ministry, and they're teaching kids about Jesus. But even more than that, or at least equal to that, it's not just teaching kids to do that. It's also allowing their parents to come in and to hear the gospel. And guess what? We are not the primary. I'm just going to tell you, every parent in here, listen to me right now. We are not the primary in teaching your kids about Jesus. You are. And so we will provide ministries for your kids to begin to meet, know, and follow Jesus. But it is actually your job. And so we want you to be full of Jesus. We want you to be full of the Spirit so that you can carry that out. And so every time those people are over there serving, it costs them something. It costs them time. It costs them effort to actually do that. But they see the vision. They see the value. They see the understanding that these parents need it, these kids need it, and we're working together to partner with Jesus. They say yes to Jesus on a regular basis, and I'm very thankful for them, and we're going to give them a hand right now. In Philippians 1:6, can we throw that up there? Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. This is kind of an anchor to this whole passage, and Paul's confidence isn't in the Philippians' consistency. Oh, they read their Bible every day. It's wonderful. That is wonderful if you do that, but that's not what he's saying. What is he confident in? He's confident in the God who started the good work. He's not confident in them. He's confident in God who'd started the good work, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. That's true of them, and it's also true of Evangel. God started a good work in Houghton, K County years and years ago. And I don't think it's finished. I don't think we're finished with what God is doing and what He started here. Our God, when He starts something, He intends to finish it. So let me tell you what's next. And because I don't believe God's done with us, I want to tell you some things that I'm really excited about. And what God has laid upon my heart and the leadership's heart and the staff's heart. We're going to do a kids' carnival. You saw that up there. We're going to bless the community by having a carnival. And I will tell you, it's not just for fun. It was the leadership team that came to me and said, hey, we haven't done this in a while, Levi. We haven't done this in a while. We haven't reached out in this specific way. They said, we need to get back to those things where we bless the community, but we also invite them into things. And so every kid that walks in the door will hear about, and every parent will hear about Momco. They'll hear about Awana, our Awana program that happens every Wednesday night. They'll hear about children's ministry. They'll hear about all of those things, and they'll be invited in. They'll hear about the playground. And the reason we're doing that is we want to capture their attention long enough that they walk in the door and God can capture their heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the goal. And so we need people to say yes to that. We need people to say, yes, Jesus, I will serve and I will partner with you. I'm going to do this because I believe you're calling us into this. I believe that the church is moving in this direction to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And I want to be a part of that. So that's just one thing that I'm excited about. And I'm thankful for a board who believes in that and believes in reaching Houghton County, reaching the people around our neighbors and our friends. Oh, I'll tell you, there are so many things. Oh, if you want to be, I got to talk about this for the carnival. If you want to, it's not really that hard. You get to run a game or make cotton candy. How many people have ever made cotton candy? It's awesome. Your hands get sticky and then you take a little break and it's delicious. I love cotton candy. You can't put your hands back in there after you do that. I was told. Anyway, there's a snow cone machine happening. Are we having snow cone Sunday next week? Yeah. Okay, we're having snow cone Sunday next week, so you'll get them before that. Yes. Yeah, amen. Right? Really? That's awesome. Yeah. Our janitors are going, oh no, why do they do these things? Let me tell you about Jordan and our youth ministry. She's doing incredible things with her team. Students are showing up every week. They're engaging in scripture on second service. They're opening their Bibles. They're reading their Bibles. They're talking about their Bibles. Hey, praise God for that. That's awesome. She's partnered with Houghton High and the first JV football game. Their evangelist sponsoring a dinner for players, both the varsity and JV. And we're going to be on site there and cooking up hot dogs, I think making nachos. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's true. But it's a way of engaging with the community and saying, hey, we're here. We believe, we love you. We care about you. And it's going to be awesome. And so talk to her if you want to flip a hot dog or watch a football game kind of on the side there and just be a part of that. She has these really incredible startup things that she's doing. She's doing a color war. Students, if you're a high school or junior high student, this is fun. It's like bags of chalk that you get to throw at each other and it marks your shirt. It's like capture the flag. It's going to be awesome. And then after that, there's this incredible ninja obstacle course or obstacle course thing going on that has ninja things. But why is she doing that? Why is she have these ideas and these thoughts? Why? Because we want to capture people's attention. It doesn't matter what age you are. We want to capture their attention long enough for God to capture their hearts, for them to hear the gospel, to hear the good news. Starting September 13th, oh, this one I'm excited about. You might have saw this, Come and Dine with Me. This is reality reading, but it's reality reading with a little different twist. And we're still going to listen to the scripture. We figured out something. We figured out that if you listen to the scripture at 1.25 for 20 minutes a day, how many of you have 20 minutes a day? Come on, now raise your hand. You all have 20 minutes. Otherwise, you're lying. We all have 20 minutes. You brush your teeth or comb your hair or whatever you're doing. If you listen to the scripture for 20 minutes a day, as a church, we're going to do this. We're going to listen to the scripture every day for 20 minutes a day. And guess when? Guess when we'll be done with the whole Bible? Just before Easter. How awesome is that, right? And so we're going to allow the word of God to wash over us. We're going to allow that we are doing this together. There's going to be a book every month that you get to kind of help you guide you. There's just some processing questions. And it's so cool that it doesn't matter if you're a teenager, an elementary student, you can listen to the word of God, parents. So you can help your students see you. Even if they're too young to understand everything that's going on, they can see you. They can see you listening to the word of God. They can see you asking those questions. There's actually even family questions that have been developed for you to ask some questions that will help at an age-appropriate level. Men, I'm going to talk to you for just a moment. Men, this is only for you. In your families, for the ordering of your families, you will be held accountable for your family. This is what the scriptures tell us, that spiritually speaking, you will be held accountable for what happens in your home and how you train your families. In Ephesians 5, it says, love your wife. And then it goes into how Jesus loves the church and he presents her blameless. And your family is the blamelessness that you want to present. You want to present the word of God to them. And if you're not listening to the word of God, if you're not hearing the word of God, I will tell you, you will not move them and guide them and direct them. And you will be in timeout in heaven. There's no timeout in heaven, I don't think, but because I'll be there too. But there might be. But you'll be held accountable and you're going to have to answer to King Jesus on that. And if you're not married right now, and you're like, man, I'm looking for a lady, right? Be a man. Be a man who knows the word of God and is worthy of that girl that you want. You want to have a bride that knows Jesus, that walks with Jesus, that talks with Jesus. And so you be a man who walks with Jesus and talks with Jesus and know the word of God. And so we're going to watch this or listen to this whole Bible together. And we're going to move as a community. And I'm just estimating this, and I'm not going to ask you to raise any hands. If I were to say, hey, how many of you have ever read the whole Bible? I'm going to go 90% of you, I would say, probably have it. That's just a guess. I don't have that down. That's okay. That's okay. By Easter, you'll be like, I'm one of the ones that have read it all the way through. Think about this for just a second. This is the very word of God. I got to this place, and I've been doing this for a while, of listening to the word of God in the sound, and I just want to tell this story really quickly. I'm listening to the word of God, and I was in one of those places where it's the genealogies. You know, Ehud begot, beep, 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 and like, what in the world? Like, I wanted to say, Alexa, skip. And in that moment, the Spirit of the living God just grabbed my heart and said, you knucklehead. This is the very word of God breathed for you. He wanted you to hear this. He wanted you to see this. He wanted you to understand this, you knucklehead. It's not all about you, but it is for you. And so what the things that happens when you start to go through those genealogies is all of a sudden you start recognizing names in the next chapter, in the next chapter, in the next. You start going, whoa, okay, it's starting to make more sense. And you get this big narrative. Here's the thing about God. He tells us about him through story. His story plus our story is always a great story. The Bible is one great story. Creation, fall, redemption, consummation. We know that we are winners. We are more than conquerors. Why? Because Jesus Christ redeemed us through the precious blood. Why did we need redeeming? Oh, because we're fallen. Genesis chapter 3. Who created us all? The God of all creation. Genesis chapter 1. It all fits together in one superb story for you to bring life to you, to bring reality to you. And so I'll tell you, join this with us. Where am I at in time? Oh, I'm good still. Excellent. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Here's one of the things that I've been just celebrating in my heart. and I've told you this before, we're in this place of kind of going, what are we going to do to raise up this next generation? We're talking about this, and then we came up with this. God gave us this thing like, hey, you need to teach them. You need to train them. That is actually the role of a pastor. It's not to do the work of the ministry. It's to train people to do the work of the ministry. And so we identified six people who we said, hey, the word of God is in them. We need to train them up so the word of God can come out of them. And I thought none of them were going to say yes, because they're called we're a part of this preaching team. And they said, yeah, we'll do it. Which I thought, no, that's, you know, people's greatest fear isn't death. Their greatest fear is public speaking. And so, like, thinking about that, I'm like, there's no way they're going to say yes. And every one of them said yes. They were going to answer the call. And who are they saying yes to? They weren't saying yes to me. They were saying yes to Jesus. They were saying, yes, I want to do this. I want to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the community. And I want to be trained on how to do that. And out of that came something called the residency program. And so we have a residency program, a pastoral residency program. And the idea is this. I was really convicted that I don't look people in the eye enough. And when I see the giftedness of God in them to lead and to shepherd and to be a pastor, and I'll say, why don't you do this? Why don't you consider if God is calling you into pastoral ministry? And so one of the things that it came out of this preaching team was this just boldness on my part to go, hey, what if God is calling you? Would you take the next step and begin to be trained? And so we have our first resident be here about 10 hours a week with us. He's kind of doing two things at once. He has his real job or his job that makes some actual money to take care of his family. And then he has the job with us to bless the community and to use his gifts for the betterment of the body. His name's Jake Timmer. He'll be here with us. Amen. And he'll be working, and he'll be doing some preaching. He'll be working with some men's thing. We want to raise up men, and we're going to continue on with a lot of things that we're already doing, but build upon that and give some juice to that. And one of the things that he'll be also doing is becoming licensed. And so there's a whole process that you have to do. So he has to write this big theological paper for us this year. That's year one. Year two, he is going to be going to start seminary. And here's, as we started this thing out and we shared this a while back, we just really believe that God was calling us to raise up young leaders to increase this next generation and to hear the gospel. And so he'll be starting seminary in year two. And here's a confirmation of that was the right thing. Someone, a generous donor said, hey, we see this, we believe this, and his seminary is paid for. And same person who saw that vision said, hey, your parking lot lights, we want to do new parking lot lights. I can't stop talking about the goodness of God and through his people. And I'm so thankful for the partnerships. Here's another one that just happened. Someone said, hey, we see, a couple of people said, hey, we see this issue of the parking lots. You know, our parking lots are like from 1993, and every time we turn them on, they go, and that's energy. And that cost us bazillions of dollars, not really bazillions of dollars, but a lot of money. And so we are putting all new LED lights up in there. And it's going to be awesome. It's not only a stewardship thing, it's going to drastically drop our cost to run those, because it's a safety issue. It also really looks nice if you've ever come down when it's snowing just a little bit. You come down that hill on Sharon and you see Evangel Community Church. The proclamation is like a light on a hill. Like, man, it's awesome, right? It's really cool. So that's happening too. And I will tell you just a couple of other things. Like Jake Ludi. He comes on staff. He kind of was hiding in the shadows, and we didn't even know he was there. And he helped out a few times, and we asked if he'd be willing to step into a vacancy, and he wasn't sure, but he said yes, I'm going to do it. And he's built a great team. They're awesome, right? Amen. Yeah, lead us in worship every week. They're doing a great. He's been faithful to his giftedness. He's been faithful to say yes to Jesus. Man, there's so many good things. And Philippians, I'm going to go on because I'm going to run out of time. Philippians 1:7. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Paul is in this thing, and he recognizes the partnership, the work of the gospel that we share together. He recognizes it in this, and he has great affection in verse 8 for the people. God can testify how I long for all of you with affection of Jesus Christ. Paul isn't managing a religious organization from a distance. He loves these people. He loves their heart for the gospel. He loves that they're partnering with him and sharing the good news of Jesus and partnering really ultimately with God, saying yes to Jesus in their lives. Let me tell you a story about partnership. And so we a long time ago, we would say something like this. When we are together, we should sit one and then we should serve one. And we have two services. Makes sense. Sit one, serve one. And so we want the word of God to pour into you and to be under the teaching of the word of God. But we also want you to love your brothers and sisters by serving them. And no greater, like Jesus says this, like there is, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, what do you do? Come on now. You learn to be a servant, learn to love each other, love one another, and they will know that you are my disciples. This is all through the Bible. This is all through the text. I was standing outside last week and I just walked out there to say hello to a few people as they're coming in. And I saw this guy, and he was with our parking guy, parking lot Steve. And say hello to parking lot Steve today. He faithfully serves. It doesn't matter if it's warm or cold. He is out there. Yeah, let's give Steve a hand. But I see him walking off in the distance, and this guy is like kind of sweating a little bit, and he has a garbage bag. And I thought, what in the world is this guy doing? And so he comes in, and his name is Willie. And Willie says, man, I felt like the Lord was calling me. I'm going to be here for 3 weeks, and I want to be here, and I want to serve, and I want to serve, and I want to serve those who serve. I want to be with them because I just believe like there needs to be people who are just saying yes to Jesus in this way. And so he's out. He has no title. We don't even know who he is. He's just out in the parking lot picking up stuff. And he comes in and says this. And we connect him with Mike Byring, who is that doing an incredible job on the facilities and managing that team. And we say, hey, you need to talk to this guy. And so Mike talks to him and he says the same thing. And Mike says to him, hey, are you serious? And the guy says, yeah. Willie says, yeah, I'm serious. I want to serve. I want to serve those who serve. How can I? Mike says, well, I'll be here. I'll be here tomorrow. Will you show up? And he says, yeah, I'll be here. So he comes in. Mike gives him like the hardest job ever. And I think, remember that big, huge blue welcome desk that we had? Do you guys remember that thing? The thing was cute. I don't even know how we got it in the back. The thing took like 25 men and an ox to get it back there, I think. And so they get it back there and they pull it outside, and Willie, nobody watching, just out in the back, destroying it and throwing it into that. That's service. That's partnership. No fancy title. He never knew that I was going to say this or notice this. But guess what? I noticed that. I heard those stories. And that's partnership. That's serving one another. You know why Willie did it? Because he loves you. He cares about you and he wants to serve you and each one of us. And he wants to say yes to Jesus. He wants to say, hey, I want to do this. In verse 5, it talks about partnership. Can we go back to verse 5? Because of your partnership, that word there is koinonia. Partnership in the gospel, koinonia. It is a word that it is about community. It's about service. It's about connecting. It's about fellowship with one another. But really, it's about loving one another. Every time those nursery workers are holding a little baby, man, well, how awesome is that? They smell good, right? Most of the time. And they're rocking that little baby. What are they doing? They're not only caring for that kid, but they're caring for their brothers and sisters in Christ. every time our children's workers are teaching the stories of Jesus. They're caring for their kids, but they're also caring for the parents. Every time our baristas make you a cup of coffee, what a great job that is. You get to say hello to a bunch of people. You get to sit there, and who doesn't like coffee, tea, and donuts? Everyone. So everyone likes them all the time. And so it's a great job to do, but they do it faithfully. They have to get here a little bit earlier because you guys come in and you consume. And you consume a lot quickly, right? And so if you're interested in that, I'm sure that they would take you on their team to. And here's how you make coffee at Evangel. There's a grinder. You push the button. You put the filter in, push a button. Take it over here, push the button. It's all automated. It's pretty easy. You just have to keep up and you have to understand that, and they'll show you how to do that. But that's partnership. That's like, it's not flashy, but it's a really important thing that we do. You know, the scriptures tell us something. That the world will know us by our doctrine, by our great music. No, it doesn't say any of those things. What does it say? The world will know you by what? By your love for one another. How do we love each other? We serve one another. We care for one another. Let me talk about life group leaders. They are shepherds to the life groups, and they're taking in prayer requests. They're praying for it. They're checking up on that. Our staff couldn't get to all of those people, and there's lots of people who are in life groups, and they're connected. We just had a life group training, awesome group, and if you're not in a life group, you should join a life group. It's what we do, and it gets you in the Word of God. It gets you connected to each other. And change happens within those groups. And they're just sharing some stories and they're just connecting. But they take their responsibility really, really seriously because they want you to know. They want you to meet, know, and follow Jesus. They want that movement in your life. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for them. Let's give them a hand for just a moment. There's people who are on the prayer squad. There's people who serve at Awana. There's people who show up every week for Awana, and I'll tell you, that's a rough thing. You're coming out of work, and you're coming here. And I will tell you, I've heard story after story. There's times where I just didn't want to come, but I get there, and these little kids are reciting the very Word of God. The Word of God is coming out of their mouth, and it just encourages my heart. It encourages me every time I'm there. And so they have really this blessed position to be an Awana leader. We have a bus ministry. These people drive around. They drive in rain, snow, sun, pick up students, pick up other people, drop them off. Why? So they can meet, know, and follow Jesus. It's the way they're saying yes to Jesus. When you refuse to serve, let me just say this, and I'm going to say this really directly, and if you're offended by it, too bad. When you refuse to serve, you're not staying neutral. What you're actually saying to your brothers and sisters, you're quietly asking someone else to carry your load. Partnership, friends. Love for one another. Partnership with Jesus. You know, we say yes to Jesus because, man, I don't want to go to hell. And I need my sins forgiven. And I say yes to Jesus for that. But Jesus doesn't leave us with that one yes. He says over and over, partner with me. Say yes to me. Say yes to me. And this is not a volunteer position. You're not doing me a favor. I'm just going to be real, real clear on this. You're not doing me a favor. Man, I love you enough and I want you to serve because it actually will make your faith grow. It'll help you. You're saying yes to Jesus when you push the button in a coffee thing, when you teach a kid, when you drive a bus, when you show up and at a nursery, you're saying yes to Jesus. I want others to know. You're partnering with God. We're at the life group leaders, and I want to share this really cool story. I'm sitting next to a guy, and he's chatting away, and he goes, man, I've been at a lot of churches, but in this last 6 months, I've never seen this before. Listen to this. He goes, man, it's like the Spirit of God is just moving, and I can almost see it. Like, it's moving here, and I'm so excited because I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know what he's going to do next. And I'm just glad to be a part. What an encouraging thing for me to hear that. But also, I wanted you to hear that because it's encouraging. God is doing things. God is working. College students, I want a word with you for just a moment and with you specifically. You've got 4 or 5 years. And if you could do graduate work, you're going to be here a lot longer than that. And there's a lot of things that you can do. There's a lot of things that are going to bide for your time. And I will tell you, and I'm going to look directly at you right now, you're not the busiest you will ever be in your life. I'm just telling you that. You're not. Ask any adult and with kids, and you'll go, oh, maybe it's not the same. And you'll get there, and you'll, I want you to remember this when you have kids someday. And, oh, yeah, Pastor Levi said this was way harder. And it is. It is. It's way harder when you have a family and you have all of these other responsibilities and all of these things pulling at you. And so what I want you to train you now to do is in the thing that you think is the busiest you've probably ever been in your life, but not the busiest you will ever be in your life. Partner with the church. Partner with Jesus. Serve. We have a girl named Laura. Many of you know her. She's awesome. She's partnered with our college ministry. She's partnered with our youth ministry to say yes to Jesus, to help people to meet, know, and follow Jesus. We said yes to her and help supporting her as a church. She's going to be with IV, and she said, hey, I want to help lead some Bible studies in there. And so we're supporting her in that. But I don't believe that Laura's going to go, hey, Laura, if you're here, I'm sorry for that. I don't think she's going to go, no, I'm not. I'm going to just do this over here. It's both and. She's going to do both. And she's going to partner. Because when you partner with the local church is the hope of the world. It is the thing that God gave the keys to the kingdom. He gave us Jesus. He said, hey, you proclaim this. You make disciples. I got to close this thing down right now. Here's the thing about saying yes to Jesus. It's not a one-time decision. It's not a one-time decision. Jesus is not done with evangel. Amen. Here's the other thing. He's not done with you. Amen. He's not done with you. He's not done with carrying out the good work that he's doing in you. And so today, there's a sheet in front of you, or you sat on it, and there's a pen right now. It looks just like this. There's also a little QR code in front of you. If God is just like going, man, I want to partner with you, Jesus, and I feel the Spirit of the living God pushing me in a direction. I don't exactly know what it is. Sign this thing. There's a few options in there. We'll get back to you. We'll plug you in. Remember, this is a way to love each other. This is a way to show that we care. This is a partnering with Jesus as we partner with his church together. We're in this together. It's not Levi staff and elders. It's us together. That the good news of Jesus Christ may reach the college campus of Michigan Tech and all of Houghton County, because it is the greatest news ever told. Jesus is alive. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to leave that to you. I'm going to leave the Spirit to do his work, that we would partner with him. Father God, we come before you. We are grateful. We're grateful for every servant that came before us to proclaim the good news, to carry out the work that you started in this world through the work of Jesus. God, we ask right now that as friends and family, those who have said yes to Jesus are children of you, that we would partner with each other and that we would love each other and that the whole world would see who you are, that it would be to your glory, to your goodness. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for coming after us. Thanks for chasing us down. God, I pray right now that we would do this. We would partner. We would partner with the gospel. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.